And we're back on In Focus, News Radio KMAN. I'm Brandon Peoples, joined by Jim Jeanette, who's the Manhattan Area Technical College president. And we're talking all things MATC. And a lot of recognition has been bestowed upon your college here the last couple months, nationally.
Yeah, they have.
Yeah.
What's fun, I'm also the president of the Kansas Tech College President's Group this year, so I get to give reports to the regents and stuff. And so at last month's regents meeting, which was a joint meeting with the state school board, I got to give our report about the tech colleges, and I got to my last point, and I said, I'm saving the best for last. The Chronicle of Higher Education, which is like the New York Times or the Wall Street Journal for higher education business, publishes an almanac each year. And in their most recent almanac, which came out about 2 months ago, one of their stories was the top two-year colleges, the top graduation rates for two-year colleges. And the subtitle said, Kansas has 5 in the top 25. Wow, that caught our attention. And so I told the regents all that, and I said, here's the cool thing. Kansas is the only state with 5 two-year colleges in the top 25 for national graduation rate out of over 860 two-year colleges. And behind me, I've got the university presidents, community college presidents. I said, and all 5 that are in the top 25 are technical colleges.
Well, how about that?
And one of my colleagues says, yeah, it was kind of like a mic drop moment, right? And that's pretty cool. It's also pretty easy to explain. Not knocking it. It's fantastic. Our students come because they want to go into a certain program. They want to go into nursing or welding or HVAC or auto tech. Unlike community colleges and unlike at the universities, I don't get students who are undeclared. They don't know what they want to go into. They're there because they need to stay on mom's insurance and yada, yada, yada. We get students who are coming because this is what I want to try to learn to do. And so we have students that are more focused in that regard and more motivated than at a typical community or university, community college or university. But at the same time, we have to get them through and get them to complete. And we're always looking at our retention rate. Can we make it better and better? And we often lose students on the top end because they get skills, and all of our programs on the tech ed side either have an internship requirement or a clinical experience. And if our students do well with that employer during an internship, the employer says, yeah, just come on, let's come work for me. Don't worry about finishing the degree or the certificate. So here you got a student who's got a chance to go right into a job paying, let's say, $50,000, $60,000 a year and not worry about finishing college, or come back to MATC. You know what they're going to do. Take the job. Take the money and run.
Absolutely.
Good song. And so we try to work with the students in those situations on a one-on-one and work with the employer because I want the student to complete that certificate. Usually the courses they don't want to take at the end are like speech and English Comp 1 or algebra. I get that. So our programs are tough. To get through nursing or dental hygiene tech, you have to have a passing grade of 78% or higher, which means you can't be any worse than a B-minus student. That's a tougher standard than most other programs at any college or university in the country. So our students are under the gun a lot to learn the skills, demonstrate the skills, and not just demonstrate. They are taking tests, and they're taking third-party tests to establish that credential or license they need. So these kind of ratings are pretty cool because it, again, validates we're doing a good job.
And you know, the reason it's tough, you don't want someone that's going to mess up your plumbing or your HVAC.
Or your catheter. You know, and I say that to the nursing students. I talk with them each year. And, you know, I'm a liberal arts junkie with my education. I taught history and government and stuff like that. And, you know, a student wants extra points to learn about the War of 1812, no biggie, right? There's some people that probably could use that in Washington right now, a little more history. But in healthcare, technology, yeah, we don't want shortcuts. We don't want you not to know how to do it. So our students come out pretty well trained, if they've made it through, to do the right thing.
I forget the commercial that they play. I see it a lot in the football games. It's like, hey, how good are you? I'm okay.
I'm okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't want a nurse coming in to do a procedure, helping the doctor and do that, or you don't want the guy fixing your car to do that. So, yeah, we don't do just okay. We do excellence. And, again, the students perform well because we have great faculty, great staff, and we have great employers that work with us. Every one of our tech programs has an advisor group made up of regional employers.
Well, it's certainly an important role you guys play here in the community. Do you primarily recruit here? I know you do in the Manhattan area, but what about outside of the Manhattan area?
We do. I mean, our primary service area is Riley, Gary, Pottawatomie, and Marshall counties. We share Dickinson County with Salina Tech. But our admissions folks go all around the state at different events that colleges put on with high schools and other groups. And we'll get students from all around. It's good because while we don't have the impact K-State does on some of the rental housing in town, we do have a way to bring some students from out of the area in, and they're going to rent some of those houses, apartments, et cetera. Everybody's in-state tuition for us, even if they come in from out of state. We don't have a district that says you're out of state or in-state. So it's come on in. Our biggest issue is with tech programs, there's a limit to capacity. Just because we all need more nurses doesn't mean I can add 20 more nursing students into our nursing program. We have to go through getting approval from, like, in that program, the State Board of Nursing and their National Accreditation Agency, where we have to show we have the capacity to do it, the resources to do it, the trained personnel to do it. So with tech ed, there's a limit to how much we can grow because of those capacity, safety, and regulatory issues.
And, you know, you mentioned having the good problem to have is that you're pretty full out there on right. The west side of town. At some point, you're probably going to outgrow that and have to get a new facility.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, we're working on, like I said, like tonight with Wamigo, we hope to get the board to approve so we can expand over there. Marvin Wade, the school superintendent, and I are having discussions about some ideas we have on how could we create a career academy approach here in Manhattan, similar to what they have in Lincoln, Nebraska. I have conversations almost monthly with folks in Junction City. Again, we're talking to the high school over there. We're working in conjunction with Cloud County Community College. I need space, but one of the things I have to remind people, unlike a school district, unlike a community college, the tech colleges in Kansas have no taxing authority. I don't get property tax millage. I don't get sales tax. So we have to take a very business-like approach and use partnerships to extend our capacity.
Well, if people need more information, and again, it won't be too long before it's enrollment time for spring.
That's right. It's time to start that next week, actually, and to get through financial aid and different things, and even to think about next fall, starting to think about getting ready for that with financial aid prerequisites. Contact our admissions folks. Come out for a tour. We can lead you on to a great job.
All right. Well, I think Dave had a question for you. He wanted to maybe...
All right. Rock and roll aficionado Jim Jeanette.
Uh-oh.
The Rock and Roll Hall of Fame has 20 nominees for its class of 2020. Your job, should you choose to accept it, is to provide us your five.
Oh, boy. Are you going to remind me of any of them?
Do you want me to remind you of the list?
Please.
Pat Benatar, Dave Matthews Band, Depeche Mode, Doobie Brothers, Whitney Houston, Judas Priest, Kraftwerk, MC5. Todd Rundgren, Soundgarden, T-Rex, Thin Lizzy, Rufus featuring Chaka Khan, The Notorious B.I.G., Nine Inch Nails, and Motorhead. Actually, I guess that's 18.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, to me, number one is Doobie Brothers.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, their music spans generations.
Yep.
So many styles in their music.
Mm-hmm. I prefer early Doobie Brothers and not the Michael McDonald voice. Doobie Brothers,
yeah.
Myself, but
what I think people overlook is the skill with the instruments.
Mm-hmm.
The guitar playing in some of that is just unreal.
Yep.
Pat Benatar, because I think her music just shakes you.
And she's a big inspiration for a lot of female artists.
Yeah. I would have a couple outliers that probably wouldn't make people's list. Nine Inch Nails.
Okay.
I kind of get a kick out of those.
Mm-hmm.
Todd Rundgren.
He's on my list.
Okay. Fifth one, boy. Let's go with Chaka Khan and Rufus.
You know, they're on my list, too. And so is Whitney Houston.
Yeah, she's...
You and I are agreement in a lot. Okay.
That's scary.
Great to have you in. Belated happy birthday.
Thank you.
It's 10 a.m. at News Radio KMAN.